I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Thank you for being here. As the presidential race rumbles on and heats up, here's a word you might want to be familiar with: hispandering. It came up last night at the Democratic debate hosted by Univision. Hispandering means, as you could have guessed, when a candidate says whatever Hispanics want to hear in order to win their votes. We're kicking off the show today with Maria Elena Salinas, one of Univision's primetime hosts and one of the moderators last night. She joins me from Miami. Are you detecting a lot of hispandering in this campaign? What are some of the most egregious examples you've heard?
Well, Marco, yes, we usually do have hispandering in just about every election. You see that politicians come to South Florida, for example. They usually go and have a cafecito cubano or a Cuba Libre to appease the Cuban vote. And sometimes they go to the West Coast and put on a sombrero and have some tacos. So hispandering happens all the time in all the elections. You know, sometimes we have to make sure that we call it out and that we remind candidates that they haven't always been so immigrant-friendly or so Hispanic-friendly.
Did you hear any hispandering last night in the Democratic debate between Clinton and Sanders?
Neither one of them responded to my question about some of the comments that they made in the past. For example, Hillary Clinton, in an interview in 2003, said that she was adamantly against, she called, illegal immigrants. She had already promised in the past that she would call them undocumented immigrants, not illegal immigrants. And also, Bernie Sanders did not respond to some of the comments that he made to Lou Dobbs and CNN in 2007 after voting against immigration reform, where he said he was voting against it because he didn't want millions and millions of workers coming to this country and bringing down wages and taking jobs from Americans. He went completely to the opposite way and defended his position on migrant workers and the conditions that they would be under. So, yeah, I think the hispandering did go on a bit. I don't know that it moved any votes one way or another, but I think it's clear that candidates usually say what they feel they need to say to get the Latino vote.
So I'd like to hear your quick takeaway, Maria Elena, on last night's debate, specifically the 2016 versions of Hillary and Bernie to immigration policy and reform.
Well, they go all out. They go much farther out than President Obama. They want immigration reform with a path to citizenship. They won't deport anyone. They both committed last night that they would not deport children and that they would not deport immigrants who don't have a criminal record. They say that they will have executive actions if there's no immigration reform. The problem that we have here is that they're promising so many things. And President Obama also promised immigration reform, and he made promises that he couldn't keep because it's not up to the president, it's up to Congress. And as long as you have a Republican Congress that is against immigration reform with a path to citizenship, it's just not going to happen.
Last night's debate was held in Florida, as I said, where the primary is coming up on March 15th. And Florida's a state with its own Latin identity. How would you describe it, and how does it compare with other Latino identities around the U.S.?
Well, it's a combination of so many different groups, very different one from what you see in the East Coast and the West Coast. I am from California. I was born in Los Angeles. I know that the California Latino community is very different from the Miami Latino community, for example. We have a lot more South Americans, Caribbeans here. And also politically, I think you have a mixture. Traditionally, I think that people have always seen the Cuban-American community as being very conservative. That has changed. The younger community is much more moderate, much more open. For example, on the Cuba issue, they will embrace relations with Cuba. They might embrace ending the embargo. But when it comes to Fidel Castro and what the opinion is, particularly Fidel Castro, I think they're still very strong against it.
Maria Elena Salinas, a primetime host for Univision, thank you so much. Great to speak with you.
Thank you, Marco. Likewise.
As Maria Elena mentioned, both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton made a commitment last night not to deport undocumented immigrant children. Thousands of kids traveling without their parents are detained each month at the U.S.-Mexico border. Most come from Central America. Let's meet Jackie Gonzalez. She's with the Centro Legal de la Raza in Oakland, California. It's a legal aid group that handles a lot of cases involving unaccompanied minors. Gonzalez says these children face daunting legal obstacles.
Well, the largest challenge they face is needing to engage and confront a system without any appointed attorney to help them navigate the process of asylum, which is extremely complicated for an adult on their own to understand, let alone a child. Children as young as, 18 months up until they turn 18 are expected to attend court hearings on their own and engage in our immigration system to apply for asylum without an attorney.
Can you give us an example of a kid who just kind of shows how tough this issue can get?
Sure. Our office represented a young man named Edgar. Edgar was 16 years old, so older than a lot of the children that enter and could maybe better understand. But he had entered the U.S. a few months previously and understood that coming in meant that he was getting protection. And he didn't understand that he had to attend a court hearing. And because he failed to attend the court hearing, he was ordered deported in his absence. And this happens to many children who don't understand. They have multiple obligations and paperwork that they receive that they don't understand. And in Edgar's case, luckily, we were able to reopen the case and are currently seeking asylum for him. But again, his chances of winning are only based on a nonprofit legal service provider being available to assist him. And unfortunately, the demand is too great for the resources that are currently available.
I mean, I'm a citizen and an adult, and I have a hard time understanding U.S. law. We heard Clinton say last night she'd provide legal aid to these kids. And then I think about the flip side. Does the U.S. government really expect a child to build his or her own defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very welcome message from both Sanders and Clinton that they want to provide an attorney or a legal aid lawyer for these children, because as you aptly point out, no child can really understand what's happening to them and certainly cannot be expected to build their own case without an attorney. So if the government is going to allow these children to enter and then place them into a procedure with the veil of due process, they certainly should be providing an attorney for them.
When one of these kids sits down with officials, what makes the difference between them staying in the U.S. and getting deported?
Well, really being able to express why they came to the United States and their fear of return. And that fear of return has to be on one of the protected grounds that asylum law recognizes. And that's the piece that becomes very difficult and complicated for a child to be able to express to a judge without the aid of counsel. Because it's a much more complex determination than simply saying this person is at risk if they are returned.
So as the presidential campaign continues, Jackie, do you think the country is making progress on coming to terms with this?
I mean, I think that the response that we heard from Sanders and Clinton yesterday was hopeful. It certainly is a very different message than Clinton was sending earlier, where she agreed with Obama and said that we had to send a message to Central America through these children. And I think that it's wrong. It's wrong to use children to send a message. These children are sending us a message. They're fleeing really violent countries where they face death. And to send them back to that country to send a message is a reprehensible and immoral thing to do.
Jackie Gonzalez is a lawyer with Centro Legal de la Raza in Oakland, California. Thank you very much for your time, Jackie.
You're welcome.